we decided it would be useful to review what transitioning to maintenance and sponsoring in maintenance is like. So we're going to each give a brief overview of our experience with maintenance. Then we're going to go through the maintenance transitioning in Forever Abstinent as it's done by the book. Then we're going to discuss the maintenance sponsor guide, and then we're going to talk about how to maintain
keep your program fresh.
How to keep your program fresh in maintenance. So briefly, I will tell you. I will qualify and tell you my experience in getting to maintenance. I've been in the program an abstinent for 19 years, 3 months, and 2 days. I've been maintaining about a 90-pound weight loss for over 18 years, and I'm a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. My journey to maintenance was from despair to grace and hope. I came into the rooms. I became abstinent, was given the gift of abstinence, and because I am a compulsive person, I just did this program the way it was written, and because I was so desperate, I didn't question anything. I just put my head down, did what I was told, and again, because I'm so compulsive and I compulsively ate, I compulsively followed food plans. I had been on a lot of diets. I'd lost weight on all of them and had not maintained the weight. So this to me was no different. I came into the rooms, I followed the food plan, and the one thing that was different about this that I noticed immediately about CHOW as opposed to my previous diets was that when I had gone on previous diets, I would follow the food plans, the diets, perfectly, and in my spare time, I would be leafing through my shelves of cookbooks and my cookbook cooking magazines, focused on the food. And see how I was not, because I had to do those darn questions and go to those darn meetings and make those darn calls. And I was not focused on the food. And so it was so much easier. And before I knew it, I just kept my head down, did what I was told. And before I knew it, I was hooked. And so I lost my weight quite quickly. I lost about 100 pounds in 10 months and went on maintenance. And in going on maintenance, as we will see, there are certain phases of adjusting our food. And that's the important thing to me about maintenance, is that it's not this big, scary free fall. Maintenance is exactly like the first 30 days and the second 30 days. We write down our food, we weigh and measure it, we commit it, and we eat what we have weighed and measured and committed. So it's exactly the same. It's just a little bit different food plan. So I lost about 100 pounds in the first 10 months. And, I lost about 85 in 8 months, and that was my goal weight. And so I went on maintenance, and I lost about 15 more pounds on maintenance, adding everything you could possibly add and eating everything you could possibly eat in maintenance. And I continued to lose, as I said, an additional 15 pounds. And so that was my experience in getting to maintenance and maintaining that maintenance weight. And then maintaining the weight, maintenance weight is a journey, but it's not scary because, again, it is exactly the same. We write it down, we weigh and measure it, we commit it. So that is my experience with getting to maintenance, and John will tell you his experience. And let's just not clap till the end. Thanks.
You don't get any.
Yeah, don't clap for me. I'm John, compulsive eater, and want to welcome everybody here. So my experience in maintenance, I want to mention that I got here this last time in April 10th of 2000, and I did have experience in OA HOW back in 1988 to 89, and I did reach a maintenance level then. And then of course I didn't do what it follows to do in the maintenance by continuing to do a lot of the work, and then I was somehow became no how, and then I started eating, and then it was a struggle for 12 years on my own, and I never saw maintenance ever again until 2000. And so when I came in here, I was an exercise bulimic. I did a lot of bike riding, and I'll tell you what, and I was a lot younger than I am now, and the weight peeled off in 90 days. I lost, well, I had a little bit of a head start before I came here, so my top weight I've been maintaining over about a 50-pound weight loss, but I, at this point, I've been maintaining for over 13 years a, just a little over 13 years, a 38-pound weight loss, but, you know, it was around 40, 38. I'm 2 pounds higher than my goal weight, which irritates the, you know, what out of me. But, you know, and so that's, it came off quickly, and then I ate a great deal of food. I was very lucky that I got a maintenance sponsor, a good one, who is still quite active in the program, but I switched to a male sponsor a few years ago who did my inventory and steps, and you know, and but we're still she really helped me a great deal, and so it went very smoothly for me, and this is the only program where I've ever reached maintenance. But you know, it's like any diet, you get close to your bottom weight. I had so many diets in the past where, you know, I would lose some and I could get into those 32-inch jeans, but only for about a week. And then you know, all hell breaks loose. And here, you know, we have a spiritual program where we continue, where I had to learn to continue to do the work, and that's by doing the writing, going to the 3 meetings a week, doing the tools, sponsoring other people, and helping other people, doing service, being an intergroup rep, hanging around winners too, you know, and being, you know, when you get above a service level and you're coming to the conventions, you know, you get to work with people and get close to people that have good long-term abstinence. So all this stuff has helped me to maintain my weight, and my weight has not changed other than a couple of pounds in, you know, 13 years. And that's because, you know, I follow the instructions and I do what I'm supposed to do, and I do it, you know, I'm not perfect, but I would give myself an 85% on my program. You know, I do make little mistakes here and there, but for the most part, I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm very involved, and I made it a part of my program. So in order to do this, I just have, kept focused and just follow the yellow brick road. And I have, over the years, I've had to let go of some food because I don't need as much food as I did. I 13 years ago, I'm older, and I don't do nearly as much exercise, but I do enough to stay fit so I don't hurt myself picking up a chair or opening a door. But, you know, I stay fit, but you know, I don't need as much food. So there again, that's it. And I don't know how much more time I have here, but 42 seconds? Oh, boy. I can eat a lot of food in 42 seconds. But, well, I sure could on maintenance. And I'll say one thing. When I hit maintenance, I lied to a guy. He says, "Can you eat all that food on your diet?" And I said, "I sure can." And he says, "When can I come to the meeting?" You know, I did some 12-step work there. So if you're new on maintenance and you're young and you're eating a lot of food, you can just don't tell them what you really have to do here until they get it. All right, thank you very much.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Irish, and I'm a compulsive eater. And I'm from a small town called Glen Rose, Texas, and my experience is a little bit different. I came in to see how, through the back doors of a sister program, I was out of state at another organization's convention and got 12-stepped into our program by people there who had been working the program for a while, and I sat there and watched what they were doing, and this one woman, and was particularly enthused, and by the time I left town that weekend, I had my oat bran in a box because I knew Glen Rose, Texas did not have such a thing there, and was enthused and went back. I will say that I think sponsorship is so vital, and I'm so thankful that we have guidelines now. One of the new things I wanted to share is we have this new sponsoring in Compulsive Eater's How book, and it's got a wonderful little checklist at the back that gives us some ideas of what we need to make sure our sponsees have. First thing in it is the Forever Abstinent booklet. I didn't have that. I didn't know it existed. I was given the trifle, which it says does not replace Forever Abstinent. But I was able to go home to Glenrose, follow that, get abstinent, lose a great deal of weight my first 30 days, and continued on. At that time, there was no phone bridge. The nearest face-to-face meeting is 2 hours one way away from me in Dallas. So for the first year of program, I was not able to attend any of our meetings, attended other fellowship meetings that, with permission from my sponsor, who I worked with long distance on the phone, and followed it to the best of my ability and worked through all the sets of questions, was able to be guided to that Dallas meeting a year later. So by the time I got to my first official See How meeting, I had worked through all the questions and was a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor because I have been able to lose my weight. I'm maintaining about a 70-pound weight loss and was able to do that. And then went to those meetings for a while, was still working with this two different people on the phone out of state, and went to another meeting in Dallas area. There were a couple of them. I started going to it, and I remember there was one meeting, and I went to a 9 o'clock meeting and stood up and qualified on all levels. And they happened to have a maintenance food plan there. Who knew? Because I didn't. I truly didn't know. And I picked it up and started reading and went, oh. And so I went to an 11 o'clock meeting that same day, had stood up, qualified on all levels at the 9 o'clock meeting, went to the 11 o'clock meeting and took a desire chip and recommitted. Because I hadn't been off a great deal, but there were things that were in the maintenance food plan that I didn't know about and wasn't following like I should have. So I started over at that time and also got a different sponsor at that time that I could work with on a regular basis. So that was my journey to maintenance, and then I started making adjustments and growing from there. So I just want to stress how important it is for us that as we sponsor, that we are sponsoring by the book, and that we know about the books, and that we make sure our sponsees know about the books. Because if they don't know about it, how would they know? How would I know if I wasn't able to get to a meeting because there weren't any meetings in my area? So I am fortunate, I feel, that I was able to, through God, there's no other explanation, be able to lose the weight and maintain it and then get the books that I needed and learn more about the program. And so I did recommit back then, and I've been working the program. There have been, as John said, I've had to make adjustments to my plan over the years and find that there are some things that even though it's, you know, listed as permissible, it's not permissible for me. So, again, it's working closely with my sponsor and sharing these things and, you know, the exercise level. I'm done with a beautiful chime. So I am grateful to be here today, and we will continue learning more about maintenance.
Thank you. The next phase, John will take us through the actual transition, the food transition, from the second 30 days through maintenance using Forever Abstinent, which you know, is our guidebook.
Okay. let's see, we're going to use the Forever Abstinence. I don't know if you have this, but it's very, very important that you have one of these. And then the section we're going to be really focused on here is the transaction or the transition on page, starts on page 23. There's certain things here on guidelines. And first of all, I guess the most important thing is to figuring out what your goal weight should be. There's several ways. You may want to consult with your physician. Some people maybe have situations. I have. I'm actually in the healthcare professional, so I have a book that a nutrition book which has a recommended thing, and it's published. The chart they use came from New York Life, and you can look at all these things. And so I figured out a goal weight. An approximate, which kind of falls in the middle of, myself. I weigh 156, and my category for my height and weight, 5'9", male, medium build, is like 148 to 162. So I'm right kind of in the middle there, and then somebody that's larger could whatever. So you kind of figure that out, and I thought originally 175 would be a good weight because I was 205 or whatever or and then when I got down to there, it wasn't quite enough. So, and then I looked at that and saw that. And so then I had to make that decision. And so when I got to the, into the 150 some range, and you can be a few pounds over your goal, then the transition, because you're probably not going to be losing. You might still continue to lose weight, like Pamela mentioned something about that. I had to eat a gargantuan amount of food at the beginning of my maintenance or build up to it. But you don't want to, it has these charts here based on your category A, B, C, D, and then it'll tell you, like, you get 1 unit of fruit, 1 unit of this and that and all that. Well, you don't want to hit the maximum points all at once. What you want to do is phase into it shortly, and like it has like six different categories here, like for fats, fruit, lunch, fruit, and things of this nature. So you want to just add a little bit at a time, maybe one category per week, and then you go, and it says here that you basically, maintenance foods are added in 6 phases, with each phase terminating as the body accepts an additional food without a weight gain for a 2-week period. So if you're still losing, then you can add more after 2 weeks. And so it's a slow process, because some people freak out if they start adding too much food, which you're not supposed to do. But if you don't follow directions, sometimes, you have trouble problems that way. It's like if you get something from IKEA you got to put together, if you try to do it on your own, it might not go together too good. So, it's the same thing. So there are instructions here, so you add the things slowly, and it says here, metabolism varies. Some members may need to make additional changes in food phases. And also, Irish mentioned about the certain foods you might want to avoid, and it does have here, different things, because we do have a little more choices of foods, and some of them, like nuts and things like that, can be create a phenomenon of craving. And so you might want to be very careful. I know, like potatoes, sometimes there's a little more starch in that, and go easy. Some people cannot eat some of these foods. And fortunately, I'm able to eat everything on the food plan as it's written, and, without that problem. But, you just get the right amounts. You put it away and whatever. But anyhow, so it'll tell you that. And sometimes, and then there's instructions here too, as far as if you have a slip, and if the weight gain is less than 10 pounds, like there's you hear people say, oh, I got to go back to 30 days. Well, that's not true. If you have a slip and it's less than 10 pounds, then you can just take away, like, just have only one fruit at breakfast. Cut down, there's a maximum of 2 grains starch per serving. Subtract any additional fat units that have been added, and, and then you cut your protein a certain way, and it tells you based on some of these categories. And then when it's when the goal weight is reattained, then you just slowly add the phases back. And not everybody, by the way. Some people might have more vegetables than protein. You know, we have some vegans and vegetarians here on the program. And it's very, very, very flexible to be on maintenance. And another thing is, too, I didn't mention that I don't want to forget, is that we weigh each other. We weigh ourselves, not each other. We weigh ourselves once a week here, okay, because that way we're monitoring it. And I wanted to make that clear. And you know, I sponsored somebody once who didn't have a scale, and they would weigh themselves at the gym, and then all of a sudden he panics and I said, well, haven't you been weighing yourself? And I've made mistakes in my sponsorship. And so now, I mean, I make people buy a scale and make sure they are weighing themselves once a week, because it's not more than once a week, but once a week. And so that way we can keep an eye on it. And so if you have a little bit of a problem where it's creeping up, at least, you know, we can adjust the food, and so there's not a panic mode where, oh, my God, I gained 15 pounds. And then, you know, that can be run away to make somebody really go slip. So it's really, you know, just following it by the book and doing it as written is the easiest, softest way to go. So, and my sponsor reminds me every Monday morning, because I do my writing and stuff, and then I get on the scale, but I forget to write my weight down. And every morning he just reminds me, and what was your weight this morning? You know, and so, you know, and that way I'm aware of it. Okay. So, that works. And so, so then you go back, and then if the weight gain is over 10 pounds, then you do after the 30-day food plan. Not necessarily the first 30 days, but the second. It says here after the 30-day food plan with your maintenance sponsor. And then you just ease back into where you're supposed to be. So there's this really has a very, very simple outline. And there again, as I warned, it doesn't mean you can eat all that food, because I cannot eat all the food. I'm a Category E where I'm eating, I'm only eating 4 ounces of protein right now, and I'm not eating as much. But then I do have three fruits still, and I would rather have less protein than give up a fruit, because at 61 years old, which I am, I don't need that much protein anyhow, because, you know, it just creates more cholesterol in my system. And guess what? I'm still drug-free as far as having to take anything. I mean, I got the health of a 16-year-old that's healthy, and I say one that's healthy, you know, but I'm healthy. So, and thank God, and that's because of this program and doing it as written. So, this program really does work, and it's great. And so I guess that's all I can think of to that as far as doing this. And then, of course, you know, doing all the other stuff besides the mechanical aspect. We don't graduate when we're on maintenance here. Life is just beginning, because with the other diets, maintenance lasted for me a week. And then the clothes would be 10 years brand new, never worn, and give away the skinny clothes. So I don't know if I'm, how many more minutes do I have? A minute and 40 seconds. So, you know, and it does talk about in this book here about continuing. There's a good section here on sponsoring and everything about maintenance. And I was reading, this is a great book. I'm so thrilled that we have it. And you know, it just talks about, you know, going through and then, you know, just continuing to do the work and, you know, working the seven tools, making the phone calls, and doing 12-step work and getting sponsees. That's real important, because then I have to be accountable not only to myself, but I have to set a good example. And that's when you have a sponsee and you're working with them, then it makes me realize, well, you know, I have to continue to do this myself as well, and it really keeps me on my toes. So doing all this stuff, and I continue to weigh and measure. And you know, when you're on maintenance, that big apple, I find I have to be careful and kind of stick to the smaller apples, because the bigger ones, you know, when you don't have that much choice, but when you're having three of them a day, you know, three big ones, it can make a difference. So, you know, and I actually weigh my chicken now too, you know, because the Costco breast and wing that weigh 12 ounces are going to pile the weight on me in no time. My maintenance will go down the drain. So I take that meat off the for me, you know, and weigh it. So that's it. Ding, ding, dong. And talk to you later.
Thank you, John. Irish, did you want to add anything to the actual transition?
Okay. This is Pamela. I would just like to say, again, that's why maintenance is not scary, because it's all here. It's outlined here very, very specifically. And we look at our height, as John said, and we determine then what our portions are. And then we have these six phases, and we add them 2 weeks at a time. It's not like, oh, boy, now I can eat everything. And we add them 2 weeks at a time very carefully with our sponsor. So there are no surprises and no great weight gains. And some people can add every phase that they're allotted pursuant to their category, and some people can't. And again, that's part of our plan. Our plan is to allow us to live in the world. And so our plan for some people who the idea is just to add what works for their body, then they can maintain that. That's long-term recovery. So there was one other thing. Also, the weighing weekly is such an important thing, as John pointed out. And if there's any fluctuation in our weight, we can look at what we're eating. We don't have to cut back. We don't have to say, oh, I've got to go back to the first 30 days. And what that brought up for me is that my first or my second sponsor, I guess it was, always used to say that's diet mentality. When people gain a little bit of weight and they say, I feel like I've gained, you know, three pounds or something, I'm going to go back to the first 30 days. And that's a diet. That's diet mentality. And she felt very strongly about that. We would look at what I was eating. We would change some of the foods that I was eating, not cutting back quantities, not making any changes in the food plan, but making changes in my choices. So so it's all here, and it's such a safe program.
Hi, I just did want to add to that I'm so thankful that we do have a maintenance program. Because before, when I would lose weight at different times, it was just kind of like people would say, well, good luck, you know. And I wasn't able to maintain anything longer than 15 minutes myself before I would be going back up. So I am thankful that we do have a plan and checks and balances and something to follow. And, again, sponsorship is just key and vital to this. To the whole See How program from day one. I can't do it alone, because my best doing it alone for X number of years got me in, you know, 70 pounds more than what I am now. So I am thankful and glad to be here for that.
Thanks, Irish. Okay, the next part that we're going to discuss is the maintenance sponsor guide. Now, this has so much information in it, as all of our literature does. And really, as a sponsor, this is the first thing we should say when our sponsee asks us a question, whether it's a food question, a question about how we do something in our program, is what does the literature say? If it's a food question, what does Forever Abstinence say? If it's a question about sponsoring, what do the sponsor guidelines or the maintenance sponsor guide say? Because it's not my program, it's the See How program as it's written. And that's one of the things, too, I hear often people saying, oh, I don't ask my sponsees to do anything I don't do. And I think, well, I'm not asking my sponsees to work my program. I'm asking them to work the program of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How. So it doesn't matter what I do. It matters that they work the program of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How. So the maintenance sponsor guide, again, is very, very clear cut, just as the food plan. First of all, it says that the See How Maintenance Sponsor Guide has been created to continue the process of recovery through self-examination and commitment to the See How ideals. And that, of course, we do forever.
it is, the writing is designed to help us go from understanding to living the 12-step program. And somewhere it says that we do this when we have completed the steps. I just read that. But I mean, that is what we do. We, in our program, again, because everything is so clearly set out for us, which for me is such a safe feeling, we do our first 30-day questions, our third step up ceremony, and we do the fourth and fifth steps, our inventory, then we do our steps 6 through 12, then we write our maintenance questions, which is here. So we have to do our steps 6 through 12, and the maintenance questions are, there are 60 of them, and they're actually a review of the 12 steps, which, you know, we could review the 12 steps every day because we're supposed to practice these principles in all our affairs, which are the 12 steps. So there are 60 maintenance questions, and at the end of the 60 maintenance questions, there is a maintenance sponsoring stepping up ceremony. This is, there's the third step, stepping up ceremony. And it's amazing how many people don't know that. You know, you finish the questions and you're stepped up as a maintenance sponsor without going through this very meaningful and useful stepping up ceremony, which again is very similar to the third step up ceremony. So once we've taken our sponsee through that, we then introduce them as a maintenance sponsor. Part of our program too, I often hear people saying after they've slipped, once they have 30 days, maybe they're a FISM, after they have 30 days, they step up again as a food sponsor, and they say, I'm a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. And that is not what our program says. In our maintenance sponsor guide, it requires a full 60 days of questions and a re-announcement that the individual is once again a maintenance sponsor. And so someone who picks up while pre-maintenance goes through the 30 days again, so the maintenance sponsor writes for 60 days. So the maintenance, if you've been in maintenance and you come back, you write for 60 days before you step up as a maintenance sponsor again. Well, yeah, you know, I'm just realizing this is a conflict because up here it says 30 days food sponsor, 60 days food inventory and step sponsor, 90 days plus completion of the maintenance questions, food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. Oh, but a full 60 days of questions,
mm-hmm.
But 90 days of 90 days of abstinence.
Yeah.
So that is not a conflict. But it is 90 days of abstinence, 60 days of questions. And often people just say they're a maintenance sponsor again when in fact they don't have the 90 days. And also, something that is often unknown and therefore overlooked is that there are actual maintenance slip questions. When somebody is in maintenance and slips, rather than going to the sponsor guidelines to the slip questions, we go to the maintenance sponsor guide, and there are 60 questions, as there should be, because it requires 60 days of writing. So there are 60 slip questions. And these 60 slip questions, it says, the See How Maintenance Questions 2, slip questions, Roman 2, slip questions, are designed for those who have either finished writing their way through the 12 steps and are maintaining, or those who have picked up after being stepped up on maintenance. So they are maintenance slip questions, or they are just additional questions if anybody wants to write them. If the sponsee slips in maintenance, once they regain their abstinence, they will return to being a maintenance sponsor in these stages. And again, those stages are 30 days food sponsor, 60 days food inventory step sponsor, 90 days plus completion of the maintenance questions, the 60 questions, then food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. So it's our program is laid out so well for us, and that is what is in the maintenance sponsor guide. I'd like to say a few things. As I said, one thing I don't say is I don't ask my sponsees to do anything I don't do because it's not my program. It's the program of CHOW. And as we've been hearing, sponsorship is so critical to the strength of our program. I'm so grateful for the strong sponsors that I've had, because without my strong sponsorship, I need to be accountable. You know, I'd be out there doing who knows what. In fact, my first sponsor, 2 years into abstinence, I was committing my food to her one morning, and she said, "I can't sponsor you anymore." And she said, "I'm not really working the program anymore. Everybody knows it but you." And and I was just panicked. You know, I have to get a new sponsor. What am I going to do? And I knew I had to get one. You know, fortunately, it had been 2 years, so I wasn't completely new. But so I thought about it, and I thought, well, now do I want to ask somebody to sponsor me that I know I can manipulate, or do I want to ask someone to sponsor me who is known as a very black and white sponsor? And because in this program we know that we can work with a sponsor, and it doesn't always work out. A sponsor may be a lovely person, you may be a lovely person, but maybe together it's not a good mix. So I thought, well, if I ask somebody who's really a black and white sponsor, I can always, and it doesn't work out, you know, I can always say, well, thank you very much, it's not working out. And I had that sponsor for 8 years, and to this day I'm so grateful. And we had lots of disagreements, and her response to me was always, "This is the way I sponsor. You're free to find another sponsor." And which I love that approach to sponsoring, because it takes the personalities out of it. This is the way I sponsor. And I always, because I so valued the way she worked her program and what she had, I always did what she told me and or what she suggested. And moaning and groaning and grumbling, you know, but I would do it. And then I would find, gee, this is pretty nice. This isn't so bad after all. So sponsorship is just such a critical thing. And the other thing that I think is important about sponsorship is the 12 and 12, you know, says that we're childish, emotionally sensitive, and grandiose, and I do believe that. And so I think as a sponsor, I could talk to my sponsees, I could talk to that sensitive little compulsive eater, or I could tell them the truth. And I believe it's my responsibility as a sponsor to tell them the truth. With kindness, of course, but to tell them the truth. Not to say, "Oh, you know, it's hard, it's okay." That's not going to help anybody, you know. Tradition three says that we want to give everyone the same great chance for recovery that we were given. And I love that line, because to me, that means I do not dilute the program. I was given this program as it was written. I do not dilute the program, or I am not giving them the same great chance for recovery that I was given. So I think that's important. When you have a newcomer, it's important if you sponsored somebody for 16 years. It's the same principle. Thanks. Do either of you want to add anything about the sponsor guide? Okay. Then Irish will talk about keeping your program fresh in maintenance.
Okay, it's basically keeping your program fresh. But when you are a maintenance sponsor, more than likely you've been here a little while. It takes some time to work through to the level. You've done a lot of writing. You've done a lot of working with others, hopefully, and there's some longevity there. And sometimes I have to look at myself and say, am I getting a little stale? You know, here I am. Yes, I've got to get up and call my sponsor again and make those calls and write on a question. And I need to keep a positive attitude. I need to remember that enthusiasm when I first started the program, and that, you know, that zest, and remember that all I have is today. It doesn't matter how many years I've been coming here, that I need to have that enthusiasm and that attitude and that willingness. We really do have such sponsorship is so important, and we just really have a need for sponsors. May I ask all sponsors to raise their hand? Okay, may I ask any available sponsor to raise their hand? Much fewer, much fewer. Many, and I will challenge everybody to kind of look at that and think, could I possibly, and only you can determine this, because each person has a different life, different things going on in your life. I have no idea. But could you stretch yourself and take one more sponsee? One of the things that's been helpful for me lately is I do sponsor people in maintenance, because it is hard to find a maintenance sponsor sometimes. And I've had the experience of having a sponsor tell me, I'm not working the program anymore, you have to find another sponsor. And that is a, you know, your heart goes, it's scary a little bit, for me it was, to try to find another maintenance sponsor who could sponsor me. And but one of the things I've done fairly recently is I added a sponsee who's a newcomer. And sponsoring a newcomer has been so good for my program, because it's a lot of reminders to me. And it helps me remember things and get back in some of the early things again and really look at things. And that has been an aid to my program. Some things I also do is change up my meetings, go to different meetings. When I started this program, as I said, the phone bridge didn't even exist. And then 2 years later, I think we just had the promises meeting. Now I think there's like 54, 55 meetings a week in English and more in Spanish. And then, you know, the face-to-face. I have to drive, I go once a month to Dallas to my face-to-face meetings. But there are other meetings I can attend and get that fresh group of people. But my home meeting is very important, so much so my phone meetings is that, do you know what a time difference it is between Texas time and California time? And I do early morning meetings, and so at, what was it, 4 o'clock this morning, I'm down in the hotel lobby on a meeting, because that was my meeting, you know, but that I'm grateful that we have those. Questions. If you think you've done all the questions, oh no. There are more questions. And we are very fortunate this last couple days we've had business conference going on. At that business conference, the delegates voted and passed, and you're going to be getting, we will be getting more questions. There's a set of questions now to go with this new sponsoring book. So be looking for those to come out soon. And there are questions that are coming out on all the stories in the 4th edition of the big book that weren't covered in the Pioneer questions. It's over 800 and some questions that are coming. You take that by how many days are in a year, you've got, oh, you know, almost 3 years of questions coming. So, and plus I have found that if I go back and revisit a set of questions and start writing on them, I come out with totally different things, because my life is not stagnant. Circumstances change. And so I have a different viewpoint if I go back and answer the questions in a different way. So I can't just sit there and say, oh, I answered those came to believe questions. I'm done with those. Well, I might not be. If I pull them out again, I have new things to do with those. So I have to work each day on keeping it fresh and remembering that I just have today. I just have today. I don't have since March 6, 2002. I have since dark o'clock this morning when I got up. And so I am grateful that I do have the opportunity to be here. This is something I try to do each year, is to come here or, in addition, go to some other event that will fill my sponge and let me see people, because I don't get that opportunity, hear your experience, strength, and hope, and take that back. That revitalizes me and helps keep my program fresh. Do either of you have ideas on how to keep your program fresh? How to keep green and growing and not ripe and rotting.
Thank you, Irish. That is one of the difficulties, I think, in being a maintenance sponsor, because in our rooms, people are always looking for maintenance sponsors. So if you've been a maintenance sponsor over a period of time, you have sponsees, and you know, we do have busy lives, and we can only sponsor so many sponsees. And so now all of my sponsees are on maintenance, and I can't see, but I can challenge myself where there's room to add a new sponsee. But that is something that is really critical. Yeah, it is really critical to add a newcomer, to go through that again with a newcomer. Just going through the Forever Abstinent book again is valuable for me, and that's one of the ways, in fact, that I suppose I can say I keep my meeting or my recovery fresh, is that going to meetings. That's one of the things I love about a meeting. I can hear somebody share with 8 days and remember what it was like to be 8 days, or hear somebody share with, you know, 8 years and remember what 8 years was like. In fact, I remember going to a retreat once, and I had heard people say I had a perfect abstinence till years 4 or 5, and then I lost my abstinence, and then I've been struggling ever since. I had a perfect abstinence until year 5, and then I've been struggling. And so I remember thinking, oh, years 4 and 5, spooky biz. And, you know, will I make it through years 4 and 5? And I made it through years 4 and 5. And I was thinking, okay, this is pretty good. And then I went to a retreat, and I think I was coming up on 8 years, and somebody shared and said, I had 8 years, and then I slipped. And I'm going, oh, my God, I'm never safe. And I had a Howe twin who came in when I did and went out at 12 years. And so it is critical. It is absolutely critical to keep my recovery fresh. Mm-hmm. And by hearing other members, that's one way that I do it. Thank you.
Let me do a quick check. That will be easier to edit down later.
As far as keeping my program fresh, I guess what I do, I just, you know, I make sure I put my program first, and I remember, you know, when I was getting some time, and you get busy, and, you know, maybe I could go to only 2 meetings and all that, and then I said, no, I better, if it's not convenient, then I better maybe start a meeting where it is convenient. So, you know, I started meetings, I was involved in starting an intergroup, and I've gotten involved doing things like that. I mean, you know, Pamela says, can you help me on this workshop? Yeah. You know, I say yes, and I just figure out a way to do things. I came down, and I used to be on the board, but, you know, I was asked to come down as a kind of an outside party that's done a lot of service to speak to the delegates on Thursday. So, you know, I blocked out my schedule and came down and did that. And, you know, I do different things to keep my program fresh. And right now I have 3 sponsees. One is somebody I've known for a while that slips in and out, and, you know, I'm helping him, but I'm not going to enable him, you know. And if he doesn't get it soon, I'm going to have to, you know, I don't know what, you know, but, and he's asked me to sponsor. I've known him for 12 years or more, longer than that, actually. And so I guess that's my time. The dinner bell's ringing, and anyhow, we'll go on.
Would that it were the dinner bell.
Yeah.
Another thing I was thinking of in keeping my program fresh is coming to events like this, coming to retreats, coming to conventions. Meetings are wonderful, but there's something about the energy and the people that we see here. There's a person in the Los Angeles area who's been around for years and years, and I ran into her at a retreat several years ago, and we were talking about how wonderful it was, you know, what a great experience it was, and she said, that people don't seem to come to retreats as much anymore. And she said, remember how when we came in, we were always told and we always told our sponsees they had to go to at least one retreat or one convention a year? And I thought, we did? Because I had never heard that. But I do believe it. I do believe it. I think that's something that keeps my program fresh and my recovery fresh, is coming to retreats. I hear all kinds of things. One time, several years ago at convention, I heard a speaker say that I write down 3 gratitudes every day, and I ask my sponsees to do that. And I came back from the convention, and I started writing down 3 gratitudes a day, and I asked my sponsees to do the same. And like, I don't know how many years later, one of my sponsees said, I really resented that. And because we don't like to change, you know. And now, of course, it's a very valuable thing. But I always pick up something new when I come to a retreat. And so I think that's a way for all of us to keep our recovery fresh. Now I'd like to open this up to all of us to share. I think the focus can be how we keep our recovery fresh in maintenance, or any other topic you'd like to discuss. And come up to the front and sign off, please, the waiver. Before we start, no food questions, because food questions are, what does the literature say? And that is between the policy is that food questions, your abstinence is between you, your sponsor, forever abstinent, your higher power. So we won't be talking about food issues.
Okay. My name is Judy Kay. I'm a grateful compulsive eater.
Hey, Judy.
Okay, thanks. A great panel. I have 2 questions for the panel, but I will answer that question. How I keep my program fresh is to do new things in service. So, if I've done something, let's say I've led a meeting, then I say, oh, you know, I think I'll start to write some questions and submit them to literature. Or what are the different things? Or I'll start a new meeting. We started the Happy, Joyous, and Free meeting on the foam bridge. So I just try to do things that are creative to contribute, but that's part of my niche. Like, we all have different gifts. And so after a while, if you've been on maintenance and you have a gift, contribute it. You know, if you're an artist, draw. You know, ask World Service what they need, because that's what keeps me fresh, that creativity. But I do have some questions that aren't clear in the Forever Abstinent book, and I hope it's okay. I'd like to ask the panel. It's very clear on maintenance that when you gain 3 pounds, you release a food item, but it's not clear about losing. And what I've always interpreted as is that if you lose 3 pounds, then you can add something. So I just wondered your opinion on that question. The other question I have are categories. It's not clear which category to start with, sometimes I just say to my sponsee, pick a category. Which do you want to start with? But I'm not sure if it's clear, and I know these people have had a lot of experience. What would be your take on those 2 questions? Thank you.
By category, you mean phase of food to add?
Whether you add fruit first or protein first?
Yeah.
With me, I don't think there's any special thing. What I do is have my sponsees add 1 of those, and it's usually, for me, I usually ask them to add a fruit and try that first and then add up to that. And what was the other question? It was about if you lost more, then I think you would add another 1 of those items. You drop 1.
Mm-hmm. You're not talking about during the phase at this, during adding the phases at this point in time. You're talking about.
It's right in the Forever Abstinent book. Here, let me just read it. Okay. what it says is, let me just find it for a second. It mentions 3 pounds. If you go up 3 pounds, you release something. But what it says is if there is a weight loss after 2 weeks, go to another phase. But it doesn't say how many pounds. But on the bottom it says if there is a weight gain over 3 pounds in a 2-week period, subtract 1 phase. So that's page 26.
20.
Oh, well, 26 in this book.
25 in the 8-12 edition.
But that's a little unclear.
My experience, I have a sponsee, for instance, who I've been sponsoring him. He's got just a few months less than I do in time and maintenance, but he does a lot more exercise, and sometimes he'll go through phases where he doesn't do so. His weight might gain, and then he'll all of a sudden be involved in some activities, and he'll lose weight. And so when it gets below like 3 pounds, is usually what I look at below the weight, then we add something, and we add a few things, and so. And then we just go along with that, and then if it starts to creep back up, then when it creeps up too much, then we take it, you know, let it go. And it's just, and then the category of food, I think it just depends on the person. It doesn't really matter. You can take away a little bit of protein, or you can take away a fat. If a person's eating 3 fats, maybe you take away that as opposed to the protein. But it's just something that's all very subjective, I think, is what you and your sponsees, and it depends on, you know, the age of the person and everything else. A younger person can handle more protein or more fat than, let's say, somebody that's in their 60s plus. And so it all depends, but you just add. I usually have used the 3 pound. That's what I've done.
Regarding the adding the phases, the order in which the phases are added, as far as I'm concerned as a sponsor, it doesn't matter in the least to me. Again, I believe this is a program to live in the world, so I ask my sponsees which thing they'd like to add first, whichever might be most important to them or least important to them, or it doesn't matter. And it's completely their choice, because it's all here, it's all safe. They choose one thing, and if after 2 weeks they don't gain weight, then what would you like to add next? And it doesn't say that there's any order, so that to me means it's clearly left up to the choice of the sponsor and the sponsee. Regarding the under 3 pounds, losing more than 3 pounds, again it doesn't say, and the policy basically is that, again, our abstinence is between us, our sponsor, forever absent, our higher power, and our common sense. If you're going to lose 3 pounds and it's that's not going to cause a huge problem that I can see, or 4 pounds or 5 pounds in anybody's life, if it's clearly the weight loss is too great, then it needs to be looked at. But if an additional 4 pounds is lost and that weight is maintained, I don't see any reason to deal with it, because it is not written in here, and we have to have some basis of judgment on our own between a sponsor and a sponsee. Thanks.
I'm Shannon, compulsive eater.
Hi, Shannon.
Thank you so much for your service. And I'm looking here on page 25. The phases can be added in any order. There you go. There you go. All right. So I had two things I wanted to bring up. First of all, thank you again. And what I found has kept my program fresh is moving up the levels of service. Like for years, I just did meeting level service, secretary, treasurer, and then I became an intergroup rep, and then I became area rep and a delegate, and now world service, and that has really kept my program fresh. I highly recommend it. So if and that can be done at any time. Like, if you don't have to wait till you're on maintenance, we can always be of service. So thank you for sharing that, what was shared before, and also encourage you to go up the ranks. And then I have a question on something that also isn't clear, but that I am very interested in hearing your opinion, because I respect all of you three and your programs very much. With the issue that you brought up, Pamela, about you keep losing weight as you were, you know, headed towards the goal weight. So as a sponsor, when do we start adding food? Do we start at when the person hits the goal weight, or a little bit before, just because some people do lose weight really fast? So if we start when they hit goal weight, they could lose another 10 pounds, you know, before they stabilize. So that's my question for the group. Thank you.
While they're comparing books, I'm glad you brought that question up, Shannon, about when to start on maintenance. I was losing. I had a goal weight. I don't believe in the power of numbers. I don't believe that I say this is my goal weight. This number is my goal weight. I will die unless I reach that goal weight. It's a goal. It's not black and white. So I had this goal weight, and I was still losing 10 to 12 pounds a month when I reached that goal weight. I had lost 80 pounds, and I was still losing at that rate. And so that was my goal weight, and it seemed fine to me. So I went on maintenance, and as I said, I continued to lose. Well, I was very happy with that additional 15 pounds, and I was not underweight. The way I sponsor maintenance, when somebody says, well, when should I start going on maintenance, is what is the pattern of your weight loss? If you haven't lost any weight in the last 6 months, but your goal weight is 10 pounds less and you're going to get to that goal weight, I think God is telling you that is your body size. So if you're not losing any weight, because if you try to get down to that magic number, you're going to diet to get to that magic number. And then you're going to be struggling to maintain that magic number that obviously your body is not comfortable with. And that is not the purpose of this program. The purpose of this program is peace and joy and living comfortably in the world. So I think tying maintenance too closely to a number is not beneficial to us.
Question?
Oh, again, I do it on a case-by-case basis depending upon their weight loss pattern. And I would wait till they reach the goal weight, unless it's unrealistic. The goal weight is unrealistic.
Okay. Anything else? Another question? Or yes.
Sometimes it's really hard to find a maintenance sponsor. My name is Maggie, compulsive eater. And sometimes it's hard to find a maintenance sponsor, so I know several people, and I as well. We do a partnership sponsorship where we call each other and we both give each other our food and read our writing. What do you think of that?
Well, if you're both maintenance sponsors, then I guess there's nothing wrong with that, because but it's usually better perhaps where one of you should be more accountable to the other, but I guess if that's a temporary thing, I don't see anything. It's not an unwritten type of thing, so if it's working for you, that's fine, but I've seen some situations with sponsorship where maybe if they're not maintenance sponsors and they're sponsoring each other because they're, you know, one slipped and they just kind of hang out together, and, you know, then that's no good. It just depends on what's working for you, you know. So myself, I mean, I give my food to somebody else, and, you know, I have who I call a sponsor, and then I have a sponsee. And, I mean, I have one we've been known each other for years, and I don't really boss him or anything like that. We're just, you know, we're good friends, and but he just does the program as written, maybe better than I do, and but I don't give my food to him unless maybe my sponsors out of town or something, but I, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, we just, so, but it's hard to say, you know, I don't see anything written anywhere you can't do that, so. Yes.
While you're on your way up here, I just wanted to add that, again, we always point first to the literature. If it's not in writing in the literature, we're just giving our opinion. We're not authorities. It's just our experience, strength, and hope. And that's what we do, too, if we have a question that is not addressed in the literature, is talk to people whose recovery we look to. Thanks.
I'm Julianne, compulsive eater and bulimic. I want to thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And I wanted to say, you know, right now I have 2 years, 5 months, and 11 days. But I had a long-term abstinence once, not that long ago, 14 and a half years. And I'm maintaining 175-pound weight loss since 17 years or more. But what I wanted to say is in the first 7 years of that abstinence, maybe that's not accurate, actually. I probably had lost about 150 pounds for the first 7 years of that abstinence, and I never ate more than the first, second, 30 days. And my sponsor at the time, when I stopped losing weight, like 6 months, and I exercise almost every day. So I know I was doing everything I could, but coming from such a high weight, I probably got to that high weight because I don't have a great metabolism. Some people, you know, they have great metabolisms and never become 175 pounds overweight. You might have 40 pounds. So that was kind of difficult for me to accept that she said, well, I guess you're at maintenance, when I still wanted to lose like 30 pounds, in my head at least 30 pounds. And I think there's only two times in 26 years where I've actually been at a weight where I didn't want to lose any more weight. And it's just been, you know, I know everyone's food plan is different. I don't get to really add much anymore. When I was younger, I could eat a little bit more, but now, you know, I have to follow very similar between the first 30 days and a little bit of the second 30 days, and that's just me, you know. So I know there are a lot of people who end up, I'm not the weight I want to be. You know, I always want to be thinner, but I'd like to be 10 pounds, 7 pounds thinner, whatever. But what can I do? I mean, I'm not going to starve myself. I'm working out. I'm just saying that I understand that everybody's metabolism is different. And it's just hard, though, sometimes to accept maybe you're at maintenance when you're not at the number you think you should be. And also, I just want to, you know, no matter what your body size is, I understand. I have people say to me, how could she be abstinent 10 years and she's still 20 pounds over? And I'm like, really? Like, well, you know, I know what that's like. You can be abstinent and still be a bit overweight because everybody's metabolism is different, you know. So I just wanted to share that. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Jackie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I want to thank you so much for sharing about maintenance, and I'm just about to head into it. But I would like to talk a little bit about keeping it fresh. Not like I have to worry about that yet, but I'm just kind of looking forward to the rest of my life and how would I keep it fresh. And I'm thinking about that, and I don't think I really have to worry about that. I think getting involved with more service is always great, but I'm thinking every day life brings fresh new things to have to process and deal with and work a program on. So that is never anything I have to worry about. As long as, you know, I love that saying that this is a program to get me into life, because that is why I stick around, because I never had a life when I was in the food. And every day I can get out into life. And, you know, there's always something I can do after I've done all my tools and gotten into service, but I could take that class I always wanted to take. Or I could go somewhere I've never went. Or there's just unlimited things that are not necessarily written that we have to do, but it is things out in life. And I think I can always keep my life fresh that way, because those things are going to, when I get out in the world, things are going to affect me. They're going to bring things up in a positive way or a negative way, and I can, it's an opportunity to work my program, but I can still grow and get out of the food and expand my life. And that is really what I want. I want a bigger life. I want it to continue to get bigger. And there's just so many things outside of our program that when we have a program, we can take it out there with us. So let's wrap up with that. Thanks.
Thank you. Did anybody else?
Hi, I'm Kim from Louisiana.
Hi, Judy.
Hey, oh, I'm so happy to be here. But listen, how I keep my program fresh is get on the phone bridge every day. If I can get on the phone bridge every day, my program gets renewed. And then, you know, the other thing that I do is I pray and I ask God to please give me a new, renewed spirit of willingness. That is the only... my stumbling block is the willingness, and sometimes I say, God, I'm losing my willingness, and I just pray God just renew that spirit of willingness in me, and He does, so that's good. But then I have a quick question regarding the maintenance vegetables that get added. There's no phase to add the vegetables, and I'm a category C because I'm 5'9", 5'8 and a half, and I'm a category C, and it says you get three vegetables. Well, can you just add the vegetables at any point? And I mean, as long as I'm weighing and measuring and committing them beforehand, that's, you can just have the extra bag. Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Thanks,
I just wanted to add to that. It's just like everything else. If you added, I think I actually had this experience with somebody once, and I did. And my suggestion was we add the third vegetable and use that as a first phase. And that was just a choice between me as a sponsor and my sponsee. And again, I believe our program is very structured, but within that structure there is flexibility.
Hi, I'm Leanne. I'm a compulsive eater.
I
keep my program fresh. I go to a meeting, at least one meeting a day, usually on the bridge, but I also go to live meetings. And I give service. And one of the ways I give service when my program gets stale is I organize a workshop. I organize a retreat. It gets me in touch with people I've never talked to before. It gets me in touch with people I haven't talked to for a long time. I get to hear other people's experience, strength, and hope. And it helps the program. And as a result, I get to live my life. Thanks. I have one question. When I sponsor in maintenance, I usually tell my maintenance sponsor to continue to work the slip questions behind before they step up for maintenance. And I always hear, oh, did I slip? And I said, no. But I have found that they don't seem to relapse if they get that much more base behind them to be sponsoring in maintenance. And I can, with God's help, say at this point, anyone I have had do that has not had a slip in maintenance. So I wonder if that's wrong to be doing that.
My response to that is it's your choice and it's your sponsee's choice. It goes back to what my sponsor told me. This is the way I sponsor. And you don't want to do it, that's fine, but this is the way I sponsor, and then they find a new sponsor. And again, we go back to the literature, and it says you may do these as additional questions or as slip questions, so it's completely between you and your sponsee is my viewpoint of that.
Thank you.
I'll have another comment about that. I had a sponsee with something. They had a background where they're, you know, very bright, and they misread the way the tools were and about continuing to write and didn't think they had to do it after 30 days. And I said, well, I said, maybe if you believe that, that's fine, but if you want me to continue to sponsor you, you must work, continue to write, and that's it. So.
We have like 1 minute. 1 minute left.
Hi, Rebecca, compulsive eater.
Just really quick, thank you, panel. I just wanted to comment on how I keep my program fresh is, I had a sponsor that taught me in the book somewhere, it talks about, the big book, talks about how I can create the fellowship that I crave. And so she keeps it fresh by, we're going to start a retreat. And I'm talking places where there's not very many meetings. We have one meeting where I'm from. So
I got these new people that aren't experienced, and I don't have that much. So I just practice new stuff. We're gonna have a retreat in October, and I think having events teaches people how to come together, because I know as a compulsive eater, isolator, I need a place to go. So that helped me get out of the house and show up to the meeting. That's why I do service at the meeting level. So just wanted to encourage that. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. And, you know, that good advice about go to a convention or retreat in the first year, I think we should all go to Michigan. Is it Michigan where the retreat? So this is, thank you all so much for participating. And what came through to me in this is the through line is sponsorship. The through line of all of this is sponsorship. Our responsibility to sponsor this program as it's written, to give everyone the same great chance for recovery that we were given. Thanks very much.